The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos.
Winning, I don't know, 17-0 halfway through the second quarter over the Jets, Tyler.
What you're saying is you like the spread. What you're saying is you love this game.
I hate the spread.
Oh, I don't know. According to what you just said, you love the spread.
You know what I think? What is the spread? What
I think it's 10.5. Last I saw. Superbook.
Maybe I like the spread. I don't know. I think the Broncos game is going to look a lot like the Panthers-Texans game from last night.
I would agree. I like that. I like that a lot. I mean, it should be a game that the Broncos are well in control of. It should feel similar to the Jags. It might take a little bit of time for the Broncos to really kind of get in control of the game,
mm-hmm.
but I doubt if it's ever in jeopardy. I doubt if they're really ever trailing or playing from behind of any significant matter, right?
Yeah.
But don't expect like some sort of offensive fireworks. That's not what's going to happen. The Jets have a pretty good defense, man. And our offense, although good and although we move the sticks, we're not exactly putting up 28, 33 points per game.
Do you see how conservative the Texans were offensively? Like for Davis Mills, they were just trying to. He was the 8th overall quarterback taken in last year's draft. And they were just trying to be so careful with them.
I did. And you know what? I thought it was a pretty good game plan. Like I thought for a while, I thought he was looking all right.
He was looking all right. It's just that, you know, when you run an offense like that, teams will just call you on it. And they really, at the end, couldn't run the ball at all. And, you know, they just didn't seem to be capable of really getting the ball down the field in an efficient way. And, I mean, you know.
Well, that's
Philip Lindsay, what did he run for? Nothing? I mean, he barely played.
Well, Philip's barely getting any carries at all. I think he's probably gotten 18, 20 carries on the entire season, honestly, if that. So they're hardly utilizing him. I do know that he got the one screen pass that he took for a touchdown last week, and he's got a couple touchdowns. But, you know, the one thing that the Broncos have done really, really well.
Sorry, real quick, 7 carries, 5 yards.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's barely even out there.
All right, sorry, go ahead. That led the team in carries, by the way. That's how inefficient they were in running the ball.
Right.
He had 7. Mark Ingram had 6. I mean, they ran for 42 yards. They passed for 151, but they were in the game for the most part. And well, I think that's what the Jets are going to try to do.
The one thing the teams are doing to a team like the Texans is, you're right, they are going to force you to throw the ball. But what's been so beautiful about Teddy Bridgewater so far is that we're going down the field all the time. Like, Russell Wilson is the only quarterback that has attempted more yards down the field than our guy, Teddy Bridgewater. And when you do that, well, that forces a team to back off. That forces them to keep their safeties up high, and they can't load up the box. I do think the teams will still continue to challenge the Broncos and say, look, we would rather Teddy beat us than allow the ground game to beat us. But it's going to be important that at least once or twice per game, you can connect on a shot play of 20 yards plus in there.
I love how when I said 24 hours, you knew what I meant, so you didn't sit there and correct me and say, D-Mac, it's 48 hours, you dumbass, because we don't play on Saturdays.
Yeah, no big deal.
No, I'm saying that to say thank you to you. And the texters aren't quite so kind. But
this weekend.
You knew what I meant.
I say dumb stuff like 10 times per segment, so yeah.
Mile long, 3 inches deep. All right, Vic Fangio, what's going on here today? So today was like our guy Raj.
I'm being called a hater for not thinking the Broncos are going to go undefeated. I'm such a hater, aren't I?
It's always difficult to predict the first loss when your team is undefeated. I've faced that dilemma for years. And
it's not that hard. I'll do it right now.
Well, you got to do it the week of. It's like right up to the game. Because when your team's undefeated, you can always find a reason for them to win the next game.
Yeah, but I could do it for next week. Like, I highly doubt that the Broncos can beat Baltimore because we're not the type of offense that scores 30 points.
I promise you, and by Friday, there'll be so many reasons why you think they can beat the Ravens.
I have no doubt that I will have a game plan for how to beat the Ravens. No doubt in my mind. I also have no doubt in my mind that unless we score 30-plus points this week, I will feel unlikely that we will beat the Ravens.
Right.
Because that's what you have to do. Like, and we just, right now, we're the type of team that we could hang with an average offense, a team that's putting up 24, 21 points per game. But when we get over that 30 points per game, we haven't shown that kind of firepower just yet.
I already know what the storyline's going to be on how the Broncos beat the Ravens.
Oh, well. You know what? We're doing that. We're doing that thing that we shouldn't do. You know that thing, right?
What, looking past the Jets?
Yeah, we're doing that thing. We shouldn't do that thing. We shouldn't do that thing at all. We got a game this weekend.
It's so funny, too. Like, oh, you predicted the Broncos would beat the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. Yeah, of course I did. Of course we all did. You got to the Super Bowl. I mean, you were the best team. Of course you can find a way that your team's going to beat another team in the Super Bowl. They're in the Super Bowl.
And I can always give you the game plan of how to win.
Yeah.
That's not hard. I know what the game plan is.
Yeah, once your team gets in the playoffs, they're undefeated. You guys were 6-0.
You know what's funny about that?
6-0. Did we think you're going to lose a game? You were 6-0.
What? Do you remember what the spread was at the Super Bowl? It was kind of significant, though, right?
48. Super Bowl 48.
No,
right?
I'm sorry. I was talking about my Super Bowl 50.
Oh, Super Bowl?
Yeah.
I think it was the, I want to say it's the Panthers by 2 or 3, something like that. I think
was it only 2 or 3? Okay, I thought it was more than that.
Kevin,
but
Panthers by 5. Okay.
Yeah,
what was 48?
You,
hey, look up 48.
You get that far, there's no chance you feel like you're not the best team in the world. I mean, you kidding me?
I knew you guys were going to win that. That was a different vibe, man. I could just tell. And I could tell the Broncos were in big trouble in 48. I could tell that week, too. But I'm not going to sit there and, like, you know, rain on everybody's parade. Like, we got some problems here.
Ooh, somebody on the text line saying terrible defense, Jets. Not true. Not true. Jets do not have a terrible defense. Not even close. They got a very respectable defense. I mean, matter of fact, they've got, like, a top 10 defense in the NFL right now. They're giving up 22 points per game. They're 9th in overall. They're 12th in rushing, 10th in passing. This is a defense that the Broncos will have to earn it.
John Franklin Myers, Big Pharma. That's what I call him.
Oh, there you go.
He's the maker of Prolisac.
Mm, maybe.
It's an anti-quarterback cream.
Nice. I see what you did there. I so wish that dude played for us so that we could run with that. But I don't like it.
They got good players. They got a good defensive line.
Really good interior defensive line.
Yeah.
Really solid interior. By the way, a little bit of good news. I just saw it. A little bit of good news is Graham Glasgow doesn't look like he's expected to play, so that should help. I was worried about Netani Muteig faced off against Quinton Williams and Sheldon Rankins. That was a matchup that was a little bit concerning for me. So Graham Glasgow is listed as questionable, but it sounds like they are at least hoping he's going to play in this game.
In Super Bowl 48, the Broncos were favored by 2.5.
Okay.
We were so confident. That was that. Oh, man. That Super Bowl, and it was just like, wow, where did all these Seahawks fans come from? And like, when we were in New York City that whole week, it was like, man, there's really a lot of Seahawks fans here. And like, oh, okay, there's a Broncos fan. But like, for every one Broncos fan, I'm not lying, it really felt like there were 10 to 15 Seahawks fan for every one Broncos fan.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the game?
That's what it looked like.
That's what it sounded like.
Yeah.
Like, walking into that game, it was like, uh-oh. Like,
yeah, it was pretty unusual for a Super Bowl to feel like you've got a home field advantage because
there's
so many neutral fans that show up.
Couldn't believe it.
So to have that and actually feel it,
yep,
that's pretty significant. I wonder why.
Hey, the 12s, man, you got to give them their –
it's an incredible fan base. I mean, the Broncos have an incredible fan base. It's two really strong fan bases, though. So I wouldn't have expected it to be like that. I mean, I play for both teams. I certainly know the strengths and weaknesses of all of it. Seahawks have an incredible fan base.
Well,
but so do the Broncos. Like, it wouldn't be to the point where I would expect it to be outbalanced.
I've been to 15 Super Bowls, something like that. Tyler, that wasn't close. Out of the 15 or so Super Bowls I've been to, that was by far the most, like, home field advantage for any team I've ever seen in the ones that I've been to.
Most of the time, there really isn't a home field advantage
That's
for anybody.
Right.
Like, both teams end up going on silent count a lot because it's just neutral fans and people are loud and they're just looking for a good environment and they're not getting quiet for either side when they get on offense. So both sides end up going on silent count, at least a lot.
And then the stupid play. It would have been embarrassing. It would have been embarrassing. But hindsight being 2020, Payne just should have turned around and called a timeout. Timeout. And let's figure this out because it's a lot louder than we thought. And we don't have our act together and just timeout. And you know what's so funny? It was 2-0. It felt like it was 20-0.
Mm.
And it was just 2-0. It was like, it's just 2-0. I mean, who cares? I mean, it sucks, but it's only 2-0. But it just, talk about the wind being knocked out of your sails, though. Especially, you know. Anyways, who cares? You guys cleaned house. And that's why 2 years later, when the Broncos were back there, when you guys were back there, the vibe, everything was so different. The preparation was different. The mood of your team was different. Where you went and how you did your business was different. Everything was different. And you walked over to Carolina, and it was like, oh, I recognize this. I recognize this because this was the Broncos a couple years ago. Like Cam Newton's on eggshells. He's all wired up and there was just this vibe. I don't know how else to describe it. It was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You guys were way more relaxed, way more at ease, felt way more like just settled in with everything. Part of it too, I think really was the location because you guys were kind of right there, near the stadium in a hotel that gets used all the Panthers were down in like, San Jose someplace. It just was weird. It was just a weird sort of vibe.
Yeah.
I don't know how you felt about it. Were you relaxed? Were you feeling comfortable that particular week?
Well, it felt like a Super Bowl week, so things didn't feel like entirely normal. No, I mean, things felt radically different. You had people everywhere you went. You went down to the lobby, and you had fans, and you had media, and you had merchandise, and all kinds of stuff. But what Kubiak did was brilliant, and he made it as similar to a normal work week as he possibly could. Everything stayed on the exact same schedule. We did everything at the exact same time. If our meetings previously were like, you know, by the time you get to the end of the year, you usually shorten up your work day. You know, maybe the first half of the season, you get out of the building by 5:00. Maybe the next two or three games, you get out of the building by 4:30. By the time you get to the last four games, you shorten things up. You get out of the building by 3:45, 4:00 in the afternoon. And so we got to the Super Bowl. We stayed on the exact same schedule. We were late in the season, and we'd be done at 3:45, 4:00. Have time to go hang out. I mean, I don't know how to compare it to 48. I wasn't at 48. Matter of fact, I was in a different continent. I didn't even watch the game. I've never seen the game. To this day, I've never seen that game.
You're fine.
Yeah.
It was my
two former teams facing off against one another. So I was like, you know what? Forget this. I'm going to Africa. I don't want to watch it.
Hey, I wish I was with you. I wish I was with you instead of hanging out in a tent. I left. I'm there for the game. I couldn't stand it. At halftime, I left the stadium. I couldn't take it. I went to the tent. They had run out of popcorn and coffee.
Yeah, I can't imagine walking out of a Super Bowl game, but that's
walked out. I was losing it. I couldn't take it. I just went to the media tent area because the game was over. It was over. It was over.
Still, though, you're at the Super Bowl.
It was,
I could not imagine walking out of a Super Bowl.
Because it was like my 11th Super Bowl, and there was so much emotion and drama and everything that went into it. We just felt so invested into everything. And Peyton Manning absolutely should have been the MVP that year. And you just could not believe I could not believe what was happening. It felt emotionally devastating. That's why I left. My soul was sucked out. It felt like that. And what sucked about it too, Tyler, is that everything we thought would suck about New York City sucked about New York City. The weather sucked. The stadium sucked. The transportation sucked. The media stuff sucked. Like the porn boat that they were doing, the media press was terrible. We were nervous that the players would go, you know, crazy in Manhattan. They went crazy in Manhattan in strip joints because there was a train station underneath that crappy hotel they stayed in Jersey City that went right to downtown Manhattan. I mean, everything you could think of that would have gone wrong went wrong. John Fox decided to move the team to a different hotel they were staying at the night before. They practiced with the doors open at the Jets facility to simulate coldness. It was like 50 degrees at kickoff, even though the week was crazy. So the Broncos actually literally prepared in conditions that didn't exist at the game. Like, think about how many things could go wrong and like everything went wrong. And then we go to talk to the Seahawks. They're chill. They're in a nice hotel. Pete Carroll's like not doing that. They're all staying at the same hotel. All this stuff.
Are we going to the Super Bowl this year? Where are we going with this? Out of curiosity, like I'm dead serious. Like, where are we going with this? Is this out of like a thought process that we need to think about how we're prepping for the Super Bowl, or what? Like, I'm being serious. Where's your head at right now? Is that what you think this team might be?
I think there's right ways to do things and wrong ways to do things. And right now, the good news is I think the Broncos are doing more right things than wrong things. And that's good news.
There you go.
And yeah, I think it stings. I think we have been through a rough patch as Broncos fans this past 5 years. I think it's actually...
Well, it feels good to win games. And that's what it blows my mind when... You know, the team's 2-0 and the fan base is out there like, oh yeah, you played the Giants, you played the Jags, like who cares, big whoop. Yeah, we're 2-0. When was the last time the Broncos were 2-0? Enjoy it. It's hard. And it's not going to stay that way. You might be 3-0, you should be 3-0, but things are going to get difficult after that. So enjoy it while you can.
All right, here's some of the news from today. Here's Fangio about Purcell.
The only question we'll have is Purcell. Everybody else will be good to go.
Glasgow.
Yeah, I think Graham right now is going to play. I mean, obviously, if something changes between now and game day, we would inform everybody.
Did Noah and Tim go full today?
Yeah.
So that's good news on Graham, by the way. That was one of the spots that I was definitely concerned by. I like Natani Mutai. I think he's going to be a good player for the Broncos, but he's young, he's inexperienced, and one of the strongest units on the Jets' entire team is the interior of their defensive line. So it's going to be great to have Graham back out there. Should be able to solidify one of the spots that is concerning to me.
How you feeling about Malik Reed? By the way, Malik Reed was not at practice today at a family matter, but overall, how you feeling about Malik Reed for Bradley Chubb?
Well, I like Malik Reed, D-Mac. It's not like what he did last year was an accident. No, you don't fall into 8 sacks. You could fall into 3 or 4 sacks. You might even be able to fall into 4 or 5 sacks, but you don't fall into 8 of them things. That's real. Like, you're a good football player. So I have no doubt in my mind that Malik Reed will be able to play at a high level. Will he be able to play at the level he did at last year? I guess he's going to have to prove that to me. I think there's a lot of guys that have 1 year of good football, and you got to prove it in order to be considered like in the Bradley Chubb category. So am I concerned about the drop off there? Darn right I am, because now what that means is that Von Miller, he's going to get double teamed all day long. And, you know, Von got out to a hot start. He's got 3 sacks, but now teams are going to be able to game plan around him, and they're going to ISO. They're going to put Malik Reed one-on-one for the majority of the game, whenever they can, and Malik Reed's going to have to show up. So am I concerned by it? I am. I mean, I think he's a good football player, D-Mac. If we got 8 sacks out of him again this year, I would be jumping for joy. Like, that would be tremendous.
Von was talking about Malik Reed.
They had 2 totally different playing styles. Malik has done everything to show people that he's a starter, you know, in this league. I think this is his third year starting in the NFL. You know, he's played a lot of football. He started a lot of games. You know, he has started a lot of games this year for us. He started a lot of games last year. And he started a lot of games in 2019. So Malik's resume is crazy, just like Shaq's was. He definitely has shown the whole National Football League that he's a starter in the National Football League. And that should pay off, you know, financially for him, you know, here in a year or two, maybe. Even after this year. So Malik has the full package. He can rush the passer, he can play the run. You know, he's like I said before, he's starting this league multiple times. He's a force. You gotta look for him whenever he's on the football field. And yeah, he's got a nice big payday coming, just like Shaq.
Okay. Well, right on.
Okay. It's great to have a hype man, isn't it? Isn't it great to have a Von Miller hype man?
Sure, it's awesome. Well,
you know what? Malik Reed's stats last year were tremendous. I mean, what he did, that was way better than anything Shaq Barrett ever did. Everybody talks about Shaq like, wow, it was so obvious. It wasn't obvious to anybody. Like, I played with Shaq. He was a good player. He was so well-rounded, and he didn't really have a deficiency in his game, but nobody thought of him as this, like, sack powerhouse. I'm looking at his stats right now. Man, his best year was his rookie year. He had 5.5 sacks, then he had 1.5, then he had 4, then he had 3 in 2018. And it's like, okay, who in the world would have thought that that would be like a franchise sack leader? It's a good player. But if Malik Reed were to go out there and replicate last year's season, he is going to get paid. Whereas Shaq, he had to go get a prove it deal. He had to get a 1 year, $5 million deal, and then he got paid after that.
Tomorrow, in 24 hours. Now I know how to do
math. Yeah.
In 24 hours, we will be done. If you're still riding around pedal with Palumbus in 24 hours, we'll come
pick you up.
Yeah. You've had some issues. I had a dude today. It was so cool. He was out riding, and he sent me a picture of markings for Pedal with Palumbus.
Oh, isn't that awesome? I saw that on Twitter.
Yeah.
So a lot of work goes into planning these courses, Ben, and it's not something that you can just do the night of. So we have had to go out already, and we hired somebody to do it for us because it's a huge job. But they went out, they chalked up all the roads and all the sidewalks, and you got a little PWP with arrows pointing everywhere. Great to see somebody out there. He said he was training for a triathlon, but he saw the course, and he was kind of hanging out on our course.
How cool, huh?
A lot of fun, man. I can't wait. So grateful to all the sponsors that made this thing happen. I mean, Safeway, Fresh Foods, Local Flavors, Super Book Sports, Gatorade, Adventure Cycling, Denver Athletic, Primalware, Shop BMW. Are you kidding me? And then just all the individuals that went above and beyond. I can't tell you how many people donated. Remember when I was like I was kind of stressed about the VIP riders. Am I going to be able to sell 10 riders at $1,500?
Right.
I didn't know if I was going to be able to sell that.
Took 2 days.
Yeah. The amount of people that have donated over $1,500 that I don't know who they are. It's like in the 20s. It's insane how many people have donated that amount of money.
You were stressed out. Even like the $250, that's a lot just for an average Joe sort of thing. No problem. Sold out.
We're at $108,000 right now. I just got a couple texters on the text line. Said they just sent in a donation today.
Yep.
Thank you so much. DenverFan.com/pedal if you want to. We're still raising money for sure. And I can't wait, man. That's going to be so much fun.
Okay. So, I mean, if you want, can people just come out, just say, hey, or
unfortunately, no.
They can't. Okay. All right.
I wish that you could, but unfortunately, no. We still got COVID stuff going on.
Okay.
So
right.
you got to be in the event to show up.
Okay. Good enough. Well, we'll see everybody out there, and the spirit, is coming through, and we'll have plenty of coverage of it. So even if you're not doing it tomorrow, if you want to follow it from afar, no problem on that one, too. All right, the water cooler. The Bears fans are doing something very interesting to say goodbye to Andy Dalton.
This is great.
An update with the Ryder Cup, and there was an Avalanche player who's back that I think everybody should be pretty happy about. The water cooler's coming up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
Well, this is a quirky one. The Bears fans are sort of saying goodbye to Andy Dalton already. How? Well, they're donating to a charity on behalf of Andy Dalton. That doesn't sound bad, but Bears on Reddit have organized a donation drive to Dalton's charity in the amount of $14 to, quote, thank him for his efforts this season.
Well,
see you later.
Oh, my gosh. Man, that's brutal. That is absolutely brutal. That might be worse than the billboard, right? I mean, we've seen the billboard pop up. Didn't we have a billboard pop up with Tebow? Wasn't there a billboard around here during Tebow Mania or something like that? I think there was.
Thanks for your efforts.
But actually donating like your real money. And what if that, like, could you see that like getting just super high? Like, what if that actually goes through the roof?
Oh my God.
So embarrassing, man.
So it's going to his charity, which is a good thing.
That's good. At least you're being nice about your mean gesture.
The snark is ridiculous.
Well, I mean, could there be anything mean about giving money to charity? Could there be anything mean that is like even remotely related to that?
No, because it's a nice thing to give money to a charity.
Right? Like, it's my money. It's going towards a good cause. Like, I'm giving you 14 in honor of your number. It's like it's all positive, right?
Yeah.
It's nothing but love.
He's making $10 million this year. I'm sure Andy Dalton's feeling fine about everything.
No, Andy's made a lot of money. Dude, he got a stupid contract from the Bengals a long time ago. I mean, he's been rolling in the money for a long time.
I'm sure Andy's just fine with the whole situation.
Justin Fields hasn't exactly gone out there and lit the world on fire, though.
No, I mean, but that's what you gotta do. You gotta let him get those reps, Trevor Lawrence.
Here's the problem, though. I mean, from a fan's perspective, yeah. I mean, if I was a Bears fan, who would I want? Justin Fields, no doubt about it. But they've got a weird situation. Most of the time when you draft a young quarterback, that will buy a staff at least a year or two. And if you've got a staff that's on the hot seat, well, you draft that rookie quarterback. Even if you play him, if you don't play him, you bought yourself a year or two because you want to see it through, right? The Bears have got a weird situation where it's not just the coach. I mean, Matt Nagy, Pace, everybody in that building, they will be fired if they don't have success this year. So I would not be surprised at all if Andy Dalton continues to be the quarterback, because Justin, when he went in there, he really didn't look very good.
Well, we'll see. The meanest meme of all time connected to the NFL might be out there, and it's got to do with Adam Gase. And we got it texted in. We saw it earlier today, though. So this goes through what happens when teams play without Adam Gase. Sam Darnold's first year without Gase, first quarterback to 3-0, the Panthers, 3-0. Ryan Tannehill's first year without Adam Gase, comeback player of the year. Peyton Manning's first year without Adam Gase wins Super Bowl. LSU's first year without Adam Gase wins the national championship. Marshall High School's first year without Adam Gase wins state title.
Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable. We went all the way back to high school. I mean, he's so bad that he was able to mess up Peyton Manning. Is that what we're saying?
I guess.
And goodness.
By the way, the Bears and the Dolphins not on this list, so they didn't quite crack the Adam Gase code.
Dude, I mean, it is amazing to just see the trail of tears. And like, really, it's not even the trail of tears. It's like the trail of success that has come after Adam Gase. Adam might look at it like I was 1 year away. Like I set those squads up. Like I had them in a good spot. But some of those quarterbacks, they had to go somewhere else in order to have success. I mean, that is an unbelievable track record right there. Right. You buying Sam Darnold? I know you've always been Darnold fan.
I've always been a Sam Darnold fan. Yeah, I'm totally buying Sam Darnold.
He looks a lot better than I thought he was going to. I got to give him that.
I still don't exactly know why he's better than Teddy Bridgewater. I'm not quite there yet, but I've always been a fan of Sam Darnold. Yeah.
Well, it's really simple. I mean, it's not that he's necessarily even better than Teddy Bridgewater, but when things aren't working, you make a change. Last year, things weren't working for the Panthers. And so it's as simple as that. Sometimes you move on from Case Keenum to Joe Flacco, not because you think that Joe Flacco is, well, I guess they thought he was in his prime, but most people with a brain didn't think he was in his prime.
Yeah.
But you move on simply because you think he might be a slight upgrade, like ever so slight as it might be.
And, you know, it's fair to say that sometimes a bad situation just ruins a player. You're just mentally, you're ruined. You're ruined, and you just need to go somewhere else and restart and reset yourself. And for Darnold, it looks like the Panthers. And now, see, that big question there is.
Yeah, but now what happens, though? Because Teddy looked pretty dang good and Christian was healthy, right?
Right, that
and
is then, true,
and then,
too.
And then Christian got hurt.
That
and then
is
what
true,
happened?
Too.
Then the wheels kind of fell off for the Panthers. So it'll be interesting to see what happens to Sam Darnold. What happens to the Panthers now that Christian's hurt again?
Man, I rewatched that game actually last night, this morning when I was working out, and, you know, Christian is so good, man. Like, did you see, one of Baldy's breakdowns on Christian today?
I did not, no.
What it was is how to get a 4 yard run out of nothing. And Baldinger, who's great, I love the Baldy's breakdowns. He shows that, hey man, look at this play. There's nothing. The Texans have it defense perfectly. There is nothing. Like, Christian's getting the ball, Tyler, and there is nothing. But Christian has an innate ability to find slight openings. So it shows him jump cutting to his right and then immediately jump cutting sort of back, where he kind of creates his own hole, where most running backs would have just run into somebody and have been down.
Yeah.
And he just goes through. This is 4 yards that came from absolutely positively nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And when Christian is like the back that if it's, if he can get 4, he gets 7. If he can get 7, he can go for 20. If he gets nothing, he can get 4. He's like that guy. But he just takes such a beating.
Well, and they use him so much, and they use him in so many different ways. It's really not surprising that he's been hurt. And now, unfortunately, when you get as many injuries as he's had over the last couple of years, it's kind of a Bradley Chubb situation where it's just kind of like a matter of time until something else catches up to you. I do agree with your film breakdown there. And I see that, like, I'm not saying Javonte Williams is Christian McCaffrey, but I see that with our two guys. Like, our offensive line has been doing okay. Our running game in general has been doing okay, in large part due to Melvin Gordon's long run against the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main reason why statistically our running game looks okay. But if you really break it down, the majority of our runs don't look great, and our offensive line has not gotten great push on the majority of our runs. But if you look at the difference between Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon, it is night and day. Javonte Williams is turning something into 4 yards, whereas Melvin Gordon is turning nothing into 2 yards. So that's why Javonte Williams is going to end up playing more.
Hey, fine by me. Hey, on the text line, when does Christian become Chubb? I've seen that several times already today, like saying, okay, you're talking about Chubb and you know, injuries. Well, when does Christian get in that category? That, I hate that because I love Christian and I love his family and everything, and I don't want to see it. But I mean, he's going to miss weeks now again, Tyler.
Oh, yeah.
With his hamstring.
No, I mean, it could be very significant. I haven't seen what the exact timetable is, but I saw, like, there were concerns about the majority of the season.
Yeah.
So
again,
here we go.
Second year.
I mean, really, since the day he signed that contract, he's been hurt. I mean, if you were a Panthers fan, you would look at Christian McCaffrey like Broncos fans look at Bradley Chubb.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't, but that's a good example. I mean, that kind of goes back to my argument the other day about Bradley Chubb. Like, is anybody look at Christian McCaffrey like that dude's not good? Hell no. Everybody knows how good Christian McCaffrey is. For whatever reason, people don't give Bradley Chubb the respect that he deserves with how good he is when he's actually healthy, because he plays at an elite level. Like, Bradley Chubb has proven it to the football world. Now, the casual fan base that is just mad that he's hurt all the time, they look at him, they just see disappointment. Christian McCaffrey's contract right now is disappointing. Is the football player disappointing? Hell no. Christian is ridiculously talented, as is Bradley Chubb.
Okay, real quick note on the Avalanche out there today. Saw Eric Johnson. He talked to the media. It was great to see Eric Johnson, who at 33 is the oldest member of the Avalanche.
How about that? Wow.
And he was just battling with these, you know, these concussion issues. It is crazy sometimes in football. You get a concussion, you're back in a week. There are guys in the NHL, they get these concussions, they're out for months. And it's like, will you ever be able to really come back? And I really don't know why there seems to be such a big difference sometimes in the NFL and hockey, but it was great to see Eric Johnson out there today. And he's back. He's back with the team. They thought he might not be back. He loves Denver. He wants to compete with the Avalanche, and we'll get into a little bit more of the Avalanche as they were in day two of training camp. But up next, Mike Kliss, the Broncos are in court, Tyler. They're in court.
What do you know?
And Klissy is there. And we'll get the update from the right of first refusal trial going on next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Denver's sports station, 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
You know what? It's what it comes down to is I got to do a better job of making sure they see every single thing, you know, during the week. So it breaks down in execution.
Hey.
And when execution breaks down, whether it's leverage, whether it's a missed tackle, whether it's any part of that play, that's 100% on me.
Mike Kliss, our 9 News Broncos insider, joining us now courtesy of Bet River Sportsbook. Mike Tyler liked the honesty of Tom McMahon, whereas I felt it was Tony phony baloney crap, and I'm sick of hearing lame, you know, cliche excuses about why your special team stinks, because he just says, well, it's all my fault. Mike has the complete opposite view, Tyler. Completely opposite view.
He's got my
it.
View.
Mike, how are you?
Well, I was doing just fine till my take on Tom McMahon was dissected there.
Well, you share the same thing as Tyler.
I'm with you, Mike. I'm with you.
I'm just sick of hearing it because I don't think I think it's disingenuous. I think it's the boy that cried wolf. You can't sit up there for 3 years in a row and tell everybody why it's always your fault and you still have your job.
Should you tell him it's someone else's fault?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, that was the alternative there, I guess. He has allowed five touchdown returns, punt and kickoff, since he's been the coordinator since the start of 2018. I would think since 18, almost all the players have changed, except for McManus, the kicker. But, you know, I think if, you know, I don't know what they're trying to do if they're, you know, they're trying to get the offense to start inside the 20. You know, that's really what they're shooting for. But given that, it just seems like it's too risky. They should go ahead and have McManus boot the ball out of the end zone here.
No kidding.
Especially the next 2 weeks at Mile High.
Yeah.
And, you know, just accept the 25-yard line.
Yeah, we're all in agreement on that one. I mean, at this point, when things aren't going well, just kick it out of the end zone. You got the leg. No reason to play games at this point. Mike, let's get a few updates here. Guys that are hurt. Mike Purcell was listed as questionable. I saw you say Graham Glasgow is expected to play. And then Malik Reed, give us the update on all those guys.
Yeah, the two questionables are on the probable side of questionable. Graham Glasgow. They list him as questionable because I guess the heart irregularity is questionable. You know, if you have it 1 week, you know, there's a chance and you missed the game, there's a chance it could resurface. They don't think so, but, you know, until he gets to the game and through the game, I guess he would be listed as questionable just because of the heart issue. Purcell tweaked his knee, but he practiced pretty much, you know, he missed one day, but from what I understand, he practiced pretty much the next 2 days. So Fangio thinks he'll be able to play too, providing no setback there. And Malik Reed had a unspecified family personal matter. I don't know what that was. Didn't dig too far into it, but he'll be there for the game on Sunday.
Mike, third day in court in the right of first refusal trial between the Kaiser estate and the Broncos. I think the Broncos are going to win this one relatively easily, but there are some interesting nuggets that came up. And today, going through your Twitter timeline, the Edgar Kaiser estate at the time of his death, his net worth in 2012 was $260,000.
Jeez.
That's yeah. It. Wow.
Yeah, I think which means the Kaiser estate is going to need some help if they are to match. There's the right to match.
Yeah.
And there's the ability to match.
Yeah, just to let and you know the Broncos value is $3.7 billion and his estate has 260,000? What?
Objection. By the way, the lawyer kind of put it like that, McHugh for the Broncos. He put it like that. Did you know Forbes valued the Broncos at $3.75 billion and Kilroy of the estate, Kaiser Estate, said objection. And the lawyer, Judge Gilman, said sustained. How many times would you be objection sustained? Just listening to your arguments here on the fan on a daily basis.
Right. Well, really, what does it come down to then, Mike? I mean, seriously, if it's as simple as that, you say, look, yeah, you got the right of first refusal, I guess, in theory. Like, I know we're fighting, or the Broncos are fighting, that they don't have that. But why isn't it as simple as, okay, do you got $4 billion? If you do, then cool. Match it.
Yeah, I think maybe the alternative, I'm speculating, purely speculating here, is that, you know, maybe you would want, some pay in return for not having the right of first refusal, for having, you know, to let go of it. How much are you willing to give us? Perhaps that's the end game. I don't know. I'm just speculating on that. But they would have the right, and they have other investors lined up. And they do have, someone testifying today who has paid for the legal fees of the Kaiser estate. And so maybe they do have some outside investors, which again is kind of at the root of the Broncos' argument that this was between Kaiser and Bolin,
right?
It was not meant for you know, Kaiser to shift this money to another buyer. So we'll see how it turns out. I think what's going to happen is they may have closing arguments as soon as Tuesday, and then each side will deliver what they think the findings should be, and the judge will decide within 35 days, I guess, after this trial is over.
Okay, we appreciate it. Thank you, Mike Kliss. Hey, you got a prediction for the game? You want to go on record here?
Yeah, the Broncos win.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they win. What's the spread? What spread are we going with? I'm going to say they win.
10.5.
10.5, yeah.
Yep, they win by 10.5.
Okay.
That was very specific, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
You know we're going to ask you this every week, right? like every week we're going to ask you for your prediction, right? Like do we know that?
I know. I think I'm one and one. I don't know if you asked me last week,
We know you picked the Giants. We will never forget, ever, ever forget you picked the Giants.
Well, I heard you try to back out when Stokely and Zach asked you, so I got nervous asking you, you know?
Did I?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It was, they must have had, I deny everything.
All right, bud, we appreciate it.
See you, buddy.
Mike Kliss, 9 News Broncos Insider, courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Okay, here we go. The Broncos trying to get after Zach Wilson. It's a fired up Friday right here on The Fan.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbis here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.